For average people, for most people in the world, today is Monday. But for people who understand greatness, for people who are committed to being the best, for people who are committed to getting the most done, today is not Monday. Today is really
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
I'm the number one draft pick. I'm Tony Boselli. They sent private planes for me when I hurt my knee.
That's true. Everybody
else has to fly commercial.
That's true.
And then
I've got a burger named after me.
I don't remember little peons like John.
That's not true. I remember you, Pete.
Now, to kick off Jaguars Monday, here's J.P. Shadrick.
Here we go on Jaguars Victory Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli in Jacksonville, CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco down in South Florida. Plenty to get to, an overtime victory 2017 over the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll break it all down. Your calls in the second hour, the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. We'll get the Pro Football Focus grades as we always do.
And they're not going to be good tonight.
Try to irritate Tony.
The PFF grades are not going to be good for one side of the ball.
Bad, huh?
Yes.
Pete, good evening.
What's up, fellas? How are you?
Oh, we're doing great around here. What a day around Everbank Field after a win like that.
Crazy.
Crazy. I saw where today somebody said since 1994 there's been two games where a quarterback has thrown an interception in the final 2 minutes and the team has won. But they have never found one since 94 where there's been two interceptions in the final 2 minutes and the team won.
It's crazy.
That's incredible.
I mean,
there's no way that happened yesterday.
We won that game in spite of our offense.
Yeah.
And you know what's concerning?
Yes, no doubt about it.
And what's concerning offensively, if you look at the last 2 weeks, we've scored a total, if you count the extra points and the two-point conversions, that really we scored – because I'm not counting the last field goal in overtime because it was they didn't move the ball an inch. It was a defensive score, basically. They got down there.
They actually went backwards.
Yeah, they went backwards.
Right.
Which is a strategy you got to wonder about, by the way, too. We'll talk about that later on.
So, but my point of saying it, this is they've scored 24 points in the last two games. They scored 16 against Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken. Is that the right number? Because then we have a – we had the special teams touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's 16 against Cincinnati, 8 against the Chargers. It's not a lot of offensive output. It shows you how good this defense is. And the formula of playing great defense and good special teams, which they have the last 2 weeks, and they've scored on special teams, can win you a lot of football games. But when you play the better teams, as you know, this, I mean, I expect this team to make the playoffs based on the record and –
you got him in the Super Bowl last week. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, don't back off now, Tony.
Don't back off that.
I might have been on the show this morning, but Dan and Jeff were pushing me about, because Dan thinks we're going to the Super Bowl, and they forced me into giving a scenario how we go to the Super Bowl, so I did that this morning as well.
Ooh. What was it?
Oh, I just made up something.
Come on, I want to hear it.
Come on, Tony.
No, I said you win the division. You're a three seed. Well, I said the three
you could be
seed.
A two seed.
You could be, but
you
I
could
said
be a two seed.
I said three seed. You play okay. Buffalo in the first round,
right?
You beat Buffalo, then you go to Pittsburgh because the Pittsburgh would be the two seed.
Oh, give them the business again.
And you play Pittsburgh. Kansas City ends up as the four seed. They play New England.
Upsets New England.
No, they beat New. I mean, they lose to New England, and then we go. And the whole scenario was we go play New England, and the Achilles heel of Tom Brady is a good inside pass rush. And between Malik Jackson, Calais Campbell, and Marcell Dareus, they dominate the game, hit Tom Brady, and we win. We go to the Minneapolis.
We're going to Gillette Stadium for the AFC Championship. That's where it started in training camp. That's where it ends in the AFC, baby.
And they've been there for a championship game before, not at Gillette Stadium, but in New England.
We're going to exercise the demons of 1996.
Hey, look. Somebody sent me a tweet last night.
Now, that is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. Somebody sent me a tweet yesterday that said they were walking through the parking lot going to the game yesterday.
Yeah.
And that somebody was actually playing the uh-oh song outside.
Oh, gosh.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
You don't want to.
Yes, you do. We got it. Fortunato has it somewhere in there. He's going to fire that baby up.
But But once you get to the playoffs, you're gonna have to get more. We've said it all year, and we've talked about it on the broadcast, Jeff and I, about at some point your quarterback is gonna have to win the game in the fourth quarter for you. We thought it was gonna be yesterday, but in spite of the quarterback, we found a way to win a close game. Now in the third quarter, Blake was outstanding.
They had 11 play drive. He threw it every down.
He was outstanding. But all of a sudden, the fourth quarter came. We're fortunate to win that game because I watched the film again. Boston dropped a pick six. I mean, a walk-in pick six that would have made it a two-possession score that I don't think we overcome based on how the offense was playing in the fourth quarter.
Doug said
well,
yesterday.
Then he also made the pick at the end of the game and went out of bounds and celebrated.
Right.
I mean, what the hell was that?
Yeah, he should have kept on running.
Yeah.
Well, because you want field position.
Of course.
And part of the reason that they got in trouble is they had bad field position, gave us a short field. All we need is a field goal.
Right.
So, what did Doug say today?
Well, Doug said today, just going back to watching film, he said, you know, yesterday after the game that he was spent, he was exhausted, just what a game it was. But he said today he watched the film again, and he's still exhausted from watching the film again.
Yeah, it was.
What kind of game it was.
It was crazy. Blake had played very well the previous 2 weeks. I thought he had a solid first three quarters, a couple drops by players. But that fourth quarter when you need – I mean, that's when the quarterback – you have to have the quarterback rise up and make plays for you. And
Tony, I thought his third quarter drive was the best drive he's had in a long time.
I thought it was
time.
Outstanding. And he played – those first three quarters, he was harassed constantly. He bought time with his legs. But then in the fourth quarter, he started going all over the place and moving around and making some really poor decisions. And that was that's concerning. Now, and then he made a great throw in the overtime that Marquise Lee dropped. That would have probably won it right there. It would have been over. Or we would have had first and goal at least. Who knows what happens. But that – if you look big picture with this team, and we'll get into analyzing this past game in a second here, but big picture, for you to be effective and make noise in the playoffs, you're going to have some production. There's going to come times in the fourth quarter that you have to – your quarterback has to do something special. Yeah. Pete, I mean, don't you agree?
Yes, and he look – what I notice about him, and I say it all the time, when something goes bad for him,
it spirals.
He allows it to continue to go way off the cliff.
Yep.
You know, it's not like the car hangs off the cliff. It goes flying off the thing. I mean, that it's bad. And like when he almost threw the pick late in the game, I said, and I think it was the very next play, I said to the guy sitting next to me, I said, look, the next pass he throws will not be in the vicinity of anybody. And if I'm not mistaken, he threw it to the sideline and there was nobody over there on the next down. Wasn't that right?
I don't know. The pick six is the one that – or the dropped pick six was just like – and then watching the tape, I'm like, why? Now, he was under pressure, but you just can't throw that ball.
Josh Wells should thank the lucky stars that Chaz Green played yesterday because he was the only second worst tackle in the NFL yesterday. Josh Wells had a rough go of it. Now, I didn't watch the all 22, Tony, but judging by the TV tape today, we were back and rewatched the game. He looked like he had a really rough go of it at right tackle.
Cam didn't have a great day at left tackle either, Pete.
No, it didn't look like it either. But I thought he was worse at the other side. But
oh, he was. He's not. Yeah. Doesn't have the potential to be one of the best tackles in football either.
We'll get a little more in-depth on the offense coming up. But the defense, after Novak hit the field goal, gave up 20 net yards the rest of the game. Locked it down.
The defense.
Unbelievable.
There was some plays here or there that, you know, Phillip Rivers is going to move the ball against you a little bit.
Yeah.
And they had some things I'm sure they'd like cut back. I mean, not tackling, not finishing the play with, was it Kirk what's the back's name?
The
undrafted
rookie.
Free Austin.
Yeah, yeah.
Got
to score the two touchdowns.
Eckler. It's I like call him Keckler.
E K E L E R.
I know I'm joking.
You mispronounce names all the time.
I knew it was Eckler.
No, you did not. You butchered that name too.
No, I didn't butcher it, Pete.
Just like you butchered barista the other day on the ad I heard.
I thought barista was. I was just fine with barista.
How do you say it, Pete? How do you say it?
I can't remember how he said it, but he I because somebody I think it was even Joe Fortunato.
Are we
going to
is this
going to
evolve?
Yeah,
or devolve?
No, but you did. Now that every time you do a Daily's Place ad or something, I have to listen closely because I want to see how many times you butcher a word. You butchered barista.
I did not butcher barista.
You did.
No, I did not.
I'm telling you, you did.
No,
Tony the Butcher.
I did not.
Anyways. Do a nice job of making. I'll say this to the Daily's Place people out there. Tony does a nice job of making you want to go over and get a cup of coffee, though.
See?
I'll say that.
That's all
that
matters. Idea. Advertising works.
That's all it works. We're talking
just
about it.
Just don't put the big words in the copy. You can't handle it.
I said barista fine. Anyway, there's some plays that they would like better, like finishing the tackle on the sidelines. You can't let him finish the play. But for the most part, they were very good. The one thing that did surprise me, the pass rush wasn't very good.
Terrible.
Now,
terrible.
When they blitzed, they got there, and they had a couple rushes where they pressured Phillip. And now Phillip Rivers doesn't take sacks. He throws it away before you can get to him. He's so quick. And so there were some, but not what we've seen in the past. And this was not a good offensive line. Schofield, their right tackle, is terrible. I thought they would have a huge day against them, and he blocked them up. And Russell Okung did a really good job on both Calais Campbell and
there's another
Ngakoue.
One, Pete.
Ngakoue.
Calais.
You want to go through this tonight?
we're going.
Every,
we're butcher.
So every time you mess something up, you want me to?
Please.
Okay, perfect. We'll do
good,
this.
Great.
We'll do this.
I'll beat you again.
Calais Campbell and Ngakoue, Russell Okung blocked him up. And they did – Yannick did nothing when he was on Okung, nothing.
And they didn't get a lot of interior pressure.
No, they did not get – and that they got a rookie guard starting at the left side. I mean,
Feeney.
And then they were – I mean, I was shocked. Because, I mean, Jeff and I talked about it going into the game. That was a huge advantage that we thought we'd get after him in the pass rush. Now, we played the run very well, did a good job against on run defense, but the pass rush was not there, and that was surprising.
I got to get one thing off my chest.
Mm.
This team needs to control itself.
Yeah, they had some.
It's getting out of hand. Getting out of hand.
Some bad
I'm
penalties.
All for. Being nasty and pushing the envelope and doing a lot of chirping and doing a lot of talking and being the big bad bully in the league and all that and stuff. But when you start costing your team yards and maybe games, you got to rein it in a little bit. And I'm going to point the finger at Marquise Lee.
That's the one that's the one that bothered me.
Yeah, but the one at the end of the game too, Tony. I mean, and they clearly called it on Colvin. You guys could probably see it.
I saw the whole
above thing.
The reason they called it on Colvin because his helmet was off. He's on the field, and he's yapping.
Well, they also could have called one on Jalen Ramsey, too, because he went over and stuck his finger in Phillip Rivers'
face. But they could have called it on Phillip Rivers, too, because after he hit A.J. Boye, he sat over him and taunted him.
Correct. But then Jalen came from across the field, put his finger in his face. So, look, the bottom line is.
But the Marquise Lee one bothers me. First of all. I don't ever need to see that dance again. I don't know what that dance was.
Are you a dance expert now?
No, I just don't want to see. I don't need to see it again. And number two, in a critical point of the game, you can't start dancing in front of the guy right in front of the official.
It's not like he scored.
He did.
You know,
you got hit.
Right.
And so that we're celebrating.
They picked that flag up. It wasn't even.
And that could have cost him the game because it took him out of field goal range.
Yep.
Yeah, I think. They got to be careful with that. And I think that's on Doug. You know, Tony, you've been around when Tom's been around. You know how he hates that stuff. I mean, you want to be nasty. You want to be violent. You want to be physical. You want to be chirpy. I don't mind that. But you got to be smart, too. You can't take that penalty.
Yeah, Doug today said that is on him. He's going to work on that moving ahead for this football team. We're going to come back and delve into this offense a bit more. The offensive line especially. Wells at right tackle. Shatley played left guard in the second half after Omame left the game. Plenty to get to coming up. A little more on defense. Special teams had a day.
2 weeks in a row.
Yesterday as well. With some new faces in different
little
places.
Problems with the field goal. One was blocked, the PAT, and the one that won it all was partially blocked.
Your calls in the second hour this evening. The Tony Vaselli Twitter question of the night. Plenty to come as Jaguars Victory Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
I thought he did great, honestly, because I think that's a very difficult situation. Going into the week, we were trying to get him prepared for AJ, you know, not knowing if AJ can go. So we were trying to get him ready to say, okay, listen, you got to be ready for the right guard spot. And then all of a sudden, you know, when we saw Pat, we said, oh, you know, all of a sudden you come off the sideline and say, you're going in at left with really no reps at left guard. You know, people are like, well, you know what, right guard, left, it's a big difference because one's a right-handed stance, and then all of a sudden you go to the left side, you're in a left-handed stance, so everything's reversed. You know, he handled that well, and then all of a sudden during the course of the game, we're like, oh, by the way, you're going to snap on field goal PATs. You know, that's a lot on somebody's plate. You know, it's better when you just find out about it than when you get it, you know, prior to the game where you're like, oh man, I got to do that. You start thinking about all the things that happen. Sometimes it's better just to throw someone out there. But I think, you know, Tyler would be able to answer that better than me. But that's a tough situation, and he did a nice job.
Doug Marrone today, an afternoon press conference here at Everbank Field, rehashing the win. 2017, the final in overtime, the win over the Los Angeles Chargers. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, and Pete Prisco. Yeah, Tyler Shatley moving around the offensive line a little bit. He started at right or started at center for a handful of weeks here, moved to left guard yesterday, snapped on field goals and extra points at the end of the game when Matt Overton went out with a shoulder injury. Just kind of tells the tale of the offensive line the last few weeks, guys moving different spots where they need to go when they need to do it.
Yeah, he did a great job. Tough duty. It wasn't perfect when he went in there, but like Doug said, his ability to play three different positions and to play it at an above average level, you know, he goes in there, he doesn't hurt the team, he helps the team. He was solid yesterday. It's tough duty, especially come off the bench. He sat around all first half. You're tight, you're trying to stay warm as a backup offensive lineman, and then you get thrown in there, and then on top of it, in the most pressure packed moment of the game, you know, the long snap, something you haven't done. I mean, you practice it as a backup, you get some reps. He goes out there before the game and pregame and takes, you know, maybe 5-7 snaps just to make sure he hasn't forgotten how to do it. But that's one thing to do before the game, but now all of a sudden the game's on the line. And he did a nice job. His first one was a little bit high. Give Brad Nortman a lot of credit. Got it. Put a good hold down.
It was a little loopy, too. It took a little while to get back there.
Yeah, it's a tough deal. I mean, because he's playing left guard. Now he's got a snap, so he's taking his gloves off and everything else to get ready to snap. And I mean, it's a process.
Hey, why couldn't they run the ball yesterday, by the way?
They didn't block very well. They didn't play well.
There was also 18 guys in the box, too.
Well, they had 8 in the box. They when we went 11 personnel, which is one tight end, one back, 3 wide receivers, they kept base personnel in there. And they basically
like the Rams
said,
did.
We're going to play base against your 11, against your, you know, passing type of formation. We're going to play base, and we'll cover your receivers with linebackers and safeties if we have to. And they committed to stop the run, and they did. But this team's seen that in the past. And they've done better. They weren't great up front. It was the worst game they've played all year as a unit.
Across the board?
Yes, across the board.
Yeah, it looked like it. But there were also a couple plays, like there was one where Fournette ran left, I think, and Adai was standing there as the free runner and nobody to touch him. I mean, that you're not going to get yards if you know he's got trying to make him miss at the line of scrimmage is almost impossible.
No, it's tough. I mean, sometimes they had the 8th guy unblocked. They schemed it up well. I don't think Leonard Fournette's 100% healthy either, watching him, in my opinion. I saw him limping at the end of the game.
Fred thought that in postgame as well last night.
I don't think he's 100%. I was surprised they didn't get Chris Ivory more rushes the way he had run the last few weeks. But there wasn't any big holes that were missed, or they didn't get much out of the run game at all.
Okay, Tony, you know I'm a strategy guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, at the end of the game, you got to – a snapper who's not done it very much, and you don't know if he's going to do it very well. Why the hell on third down would you lose a yard to place the ball?
Well, okay, two things. I'll go further, Pete. You get the interception, you go down to the 1. You get a 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike, you go back to the 16.
Correct.
You're on the right hash.
Right.
Your field goal kicker likes it on the left hash.
Right.
On first down, I tell Blake Bortles, run over to the left hash and take a knee. Now you'll be on the 17 or 18-yard line. Not a big deal. No big difference in kicking for
Lambeau. Well, it is
Lambeau.
A big difference. Why are you losing, Pete, yards?
2 yards makes no difference for a field goal kicker at that distance. Zero.
It does it for a field goal kicker, but it makes difference when you got a got a lollipop of a deep snapper. Yes, it does.
No, it does not. Not that distance. Now, if you're talking between 45 and 50, fine. But you're talking between 30 and 33. It doesn't make a difference.
Okay,
hold on. Let me
finish. They don't get the penalty. They don't get the field goal doesn't go over. The 5-yard penalty, the field goal doesn't go over.
The game on defense, they got him down to a 30-yard field goal. It would have been a 35-yarder.
Okay, you're missing the point.
No,
the bigger strategy issue, Pete, is you don't wait till fourth down to kick a field goal in overtime when it's a gimme and it's for the game winner, especially when you have a backup kicker. You do it on second or third down, so if you have a bad snap. Or second down, what does it matter? If you have a bad snap.
Because on first down, you try and get a couple more yards. On second down, you center the ball where you want to put it and try and get a couple more yards by doing that. You don't lose yardage when you got a deep snap.
Then,
or a snapper
who's
his backup,
on the
third teamer.
Fine, on first down, run a play to the left then.
And right.
I'm fine with that. Either way.
Then on second down, run another play to the left.
No.
And then on third down, you snap and kick the field goal. If it gets away from it, then you kick it.
I'd have done
on
second down.
For the record, here's the official book yardage. Fournette up the middle for 1 yard. Fournette up the middle for 1 yard. Bortles left in for minus 2 yards. So it comes out
That's
even in
dumb.
The wash.
That's just dumb.
From where it was spotted at the end of the penalty.
I disagree. The part I disagree with is kicking a field goal. On fourth down, you kick it on third down. So if you have a bad snap or anything else, you get another chance. That's the strategy.
I agree with you.
2 yards does not make a difference, Pete. 2 yards does not matter.
Well, it almost did, Tony.
No, it didn't.
If they don't get the 5 yards on the free on the penalty, do you think that kick goes over the bar?
I don't think so.
But then it made a difference.
No, 5 yards did, not two.
Don't you get it? They lost two. If they had run to the left and got two, they would have been the same thing. It was bad strategy. It was a bad decision.
The
bad strategy
was not kicking it on third down.
We agree on that, but the entire sequence was bad strategy.
Fine.
Bad.
If I was the coach, I would have handed it off on first down, Leonard Fournette to the left, and I would have kicked it on second down. That's what I would have done. I don't want no chances of bad snaps, fumbles. We saw the Eckler kid fumble, and it's a 4-minute drive situation. I'm taking no chances. I'm saying,
well,
listen,
don't go backwards.
Pete, did you listen to what I just said? You numbskull. I just said on first down, hand it off, run Leonard Fournette to the left if you like it on the left hash, and kick the field goal on second down. If you have a bad snap, you get another opportunity. Don't get beat inside off the edge. That's the other thing you don't do. So there's no chance of getting it blocked.
Well, okay, that's your strategy. Now, the proper strategy is to run it to the left on first down, try and get as many yards as you can, run it to the left on second down, then kick on third down from your left hash.
I'm fine with that as well. I just said watch that game, Pete, and in the last 2 minutes I saw two interceptions and a fumble by the opposing running back. And so I wasn't feeling really good about the flow of the game, of how it was going, on crazy things that happen.
I get it, but you can't count on crazy things happening every play, Tony.
Well, it almost did. We got a partially blocked field goal that went through the upright, so I think I can.
Right. So, well, and you know what? Those 2 yards that you lost could have cost you the darn game.
The bottom line is, I think where we both agree, and the bigger strategy point is, you don't kick it. You kick it on second or third down. You don't kick it on fourth down.
Right, because if the ball gets away, then you can
especially
pick
with
it
a backup especially with a backup snapper. I thought that was very poorly managed, in my opinion.
Let's come back and get into the defense a bit. We'll go through from the 2-minute warning to the end of the game a list of things.
And let me
that
say
happened.
Something.
It was a game in itself.
And what was shocking to me, it was poorly managed, and I think Doug Marrone and his staff have done a good job this year of managing situations until that point. That's what surprised me so much.
It worked out.
No, it worked, but
it's a W, man.
I don't think it was the right way.
Hey,
to
it's a win.
They all blow it. Belichick blows them all the time too. They all do it. I'm just a stickler for it.
Thanks, Pete.
Check out Jack Hennany. He is Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I'm exhausted right now. Yeah, I'm shot. Like, I'm shot. And so after the game's over, I am shot. I can tell you right now. I'm going to go in. I'm going to take a shower. We'll have the medical report later on. Okay? I'm going to take the shower, all right? I'm going to call my wife, meet me at home, pick up some bologna and cheese. I'm going to go out the back way, all right? I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to drive home. I'm going to listen to some music. Don't listen to the NFL. Don't listen to scores or anything like that. Go home, pet my dogs because we won, all right? And then I'm just going to... Yeah, it's not as fun as, you know, it's not like, woohoo, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you know?
Head coach Doug Marrone last night in the press conference. He's going to pet his dogs because he won.
Does that
Jaguars
mean,
Monday.
Does he kick him if he loses?
I don't know. I don't want to know. JP Shadrick, Tony Maselli.
Obviously he doesn't. All the dog lovers out there don't write into me saying I'm an animal hater. It's a figure of speech.
By the way, his sound bites are good, man. He's got some great sound bites. I mean, could you imagine Tom ever coming to the podium and saying that after a game, Tony?
No.
I mean, no. I mean, it was just a, he's got good sound bites. If you cover that team, you got to like to hear what he has to say because he says some interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And he has fun about it. But bologna and cheese? What the hell? You celebrate with a bologna and cheese sandwich?
Well, that's what he started. Remember now on the Doug Marrone show last week, during the bye week, going into the bye week, I believe. I was talking about what do you do? Do you watch the games? What happens at the house? And I said, I could just picture you watching the TV with a remote in one hand, cold beer in the other, and yelling at the TV. And he said, well, yeah, bologna and cheese sandwich, too. And that's what I eat. Like, that's what he eats, I guess. I don't know. It's his thing.
I like bologna and cheese.
Simple. He's a simple man. I think that's a way of saying he's eating crumbs, you know,
yeah,
and not eating a big meal.
He doesn't go to those highfalutin restaurants that Baselli eats at.
Like what?
I don't know. You go every town you go into. You always tell me, "Oh, I went to this restaurant and it was fantastic, highfalutin." You're like a wine and cheese snob, Tony. You're that guy.
Especially you know, when Doug he doesn't Marrone. Have to. Especially when I have to pay the bill.
Right, and Doug Marrone comes across as like a burger and a beer guy.
Well,
right?
Pete, I like eating all food, so I enjoy a nice sandwich. At home, I can go out to a nice steakhouse. There's a lot of fast food establishments I like. Obviously, I like Daly's, Dash. I eat there. Mm. So there's a number of different levels of restaurants that I will go eat at. Mm. It's not
last this, meal. Last meal you can ever have. Tomorrow's your last day. What are you eating?
Oh, last meal. I'm going to one of my favorite Italian restaurants. I'm going to an Italian restaurant, probably somewhere in New York City. And I am sitting there for hours. I'm starting with a big antipasta plate. I'm getting a nice salad, probably a veal dish, maybe a veal chop, and then some tiramisu for dessert.
Yeah, you're going to have some pasta in there, too.
The pasta comes with the veal chop.
Okay, all right. I would probably pick my last meal would be an Italian meal, too. But I don't know what it would be. But it would be an Italian.
Yeah, I mean,
JP would pick
fried chicken.
I'm gonna get me some barbecue.
Fried chicken, probably.
Fried chicken.
Yeah,
yeah. An Italian meal would be number one, and a Mexican meal would be number two.
I like Mexican food too.
Those would be one and two.
I think
a steak would be three.
Pete, you remember this? Remember when I ate a chicken leg on your show on the air one time? You remember that?
On my show?
Yeah, on your old show.
It was so memorable.
That's right. From the booth. You were in the booth. He was in the booth. You were in the booth doing the Suns game.
That's right. Long time ago.
And
it was Friday night. Beach Road Chicken.
It was Beach Road Chicken. Yeah. And they brought it in. And I said, just take a couple bites out. I want to hear what it sounds like because that chicken is good.
And see? There you go. That was a long time. Memories. A long time ago.
Okay,
I don't know how
on.
We delved into food here.
Pete did it.
That's Pete. Way to go, Pete.
Hey, we can go off on tangents once in a while. Would you either that or you hear Tony mispronouncing every other word? Take your pick.
We'll get him to read some stuff in the second hour just for fun tonight. There's nothing on the wager.
Because he lost last week.
Hey, let's go through from the two-minute warning to the end of the game some key moments that happened in this game yesterday. Starting off at the two-minute warning, the snap. Bortles intercepted by Boston at the 42-yard line. The Chargers had a delay of game. Then Eckler fumbled, but Malik Jackson forced it. It was returned for an apparent touchdown by Tashaun Gibson, overturned allegedly by replay. That's the argument today.
Well, I thought he was down. I mean, the TV replay, we saw that he was clearly on Eckler's leg.
Well, the argument,
that was the right call.
Well, the argument today is that there wasn't enough evidence on the screen to overturn, but that's what a lot of people are saying online today.
How? I mean, it was,
it was
Joe,
clearly.
Joe, our producer, Fortunato, everybody,
I agree.
You were sitting right next to me. We looked at it. I mean, he was
I saw that story, too. You're talking about JP.
The Pro Football Talk had it.
I don't see how.
But he was on the leg.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, it was clearly.
Clearly.
Then, so, at the minute 38 mark, there was a couple incompletions for Bortles. Then, at minute 38 mark, Bortles in the end zone, incomplete, intended for Lee. He was a taunting call. Then the Bortles interception right after that, back to the 10-yard line.
Which
Chargers.
A bad – all we needed is 7 yards there to be in for a 48-yard field goal.
Right. Chargers
didn't need to pick up the first down. I don't know why you throw deep there.
Jags had all three timeouts, so the Chargers go three and out. Jags get it back at 58 seconds. Completion to Hearns at 50 seconds. He crawls off the field so they don't get the 10-second runoff after that play.
That was a big-time play by him.
Huge. Bosa gets a roughing the passer at 24 seconds.
Dumb play by Bosa.
And then Lambeau hits the 34-yarder at 7 seconds. They score the field goal with 3 seconds on the clock.
Without that Bosa roughing the passer, I mean, we still had some time. I think that was on the second down play, I believe.
Yeah.
So we had two more downs to pick up the first down. We were not in field goal range at that moment. That was a dumb decision. I mean, what a boneheaded play by a very good player.
Then you go to overtime, and the Jags had to punt. There was a third down interception. Boyer returned to the two. The taunting penalty by Colvin, of course. 2 Fournette runs. The left hash knee. A defensive delay of game and a 30-yard field goal to win it. That's a complete game right there from the two-minute warning on.
Well, in between, right before the third down interception that Phillip Rivers threw, he had Keenan Allen on a dig route deep in, about 18 yards, that Allen had separation on on Jalen Ramsey. And a good throw. It's an easy first down. And who knows what happens after that. So a lot of interesting things. It's the first time in a long time that I watched a football game the Jaguars were in and said, you know what, the ball is bouncing our way. Like, we were getting the breaks to win that game.
Isn't that what happens to good teams, though?
Yeah.
At some point.
You're exactly right.
When you're a bad team, it goes against you. When you're look at the Chargers. They're a pretty good football team. But look at all the bad things that happened to them in games. I mean, they've now lost 13 games by a field goal or a touchdown or less in the last 2 years. I mean, that's what happens when you don't win football games. And so, yeah, they found a way yesterday. How? I don't know. But they found a way.
Yeah, the ball bounced their way, but they threw it back to him a handful of times. That was the issue, too, for yesterday's
game. Well, stupidity came in play there, too. Trey Boston, and I read today, I don't know if you guys read, Anthony Lynn was not happy with Boston running out of bounds and celebrating.
No, he should have caught it and taken off up the field, because you got to believe against the Jaguars' defense in three timeouts that the Jaguars are going to get the ball back. And so if he sprints up the sideline, maybe he gets it to the 25 or 30. And now you go three and out, and you punt it away, and you pin the Jaguars with 50 seconds or a minute, whatever it was when they got the ball back, at their own 20 instead of close to midfield. I mean, that's a big difference.
And Bosa's penalty was really dumb.
There's no reason.
He had him.
The play was over.
Right. Hey, at the end of the game, when they took a big risk there, and Blake barely got out of bounds on that one run.
I thought that was a mistake. I would have kicked it right there.
Me too. I'm with you on that one. I would have kicked it right there.
I said that. I'm like, listen, we have a quarterback who's struggling. He's thrown two picks in the last 5 minutes, real time. We have an offensive line who is struggling and can't block their defensive ends. And we have no timeouts left. A lot more bad things can happen than good things. And a sack ends the game there. If he gets stuck in the pocket, intentional grounding ends the game there. If he get tackled in bounds, it ends the game there. I just thought, man, that was risky.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I'm with you on that one. I would have kicked right there.
Coming up, the Jaguars return to Everbank Field December 3rd to host the Indianapolis Colts. The start of a 3-game homestand to crank up the playoff push. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. There are some games, of course, between now and then, some business to attend to in Cleveland this coming week.
Boy, you never want to say guaranteed win, but my goodness, we don't beat that dumpster fire of a football team. It's a problem.
Well,
And then in 2 weeks, you might get the Blaine train.
How ironic would that be?
Coached by Byron Leftwich.
Boy, could be a Jags reunion of sorts in a couple of weeks.
That Arizona team's not a good football team, Pete. I saw them Thursday night.
No, they're not.
Coming
not
up, the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. Your calls as well.
Ask my people for some
ask
good questions.
It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, I think it's something that's pretty cool because I think if that happens, you know, if any of those things happen, if half of those things happened 2 years ago, we fold and it's over. You know, so I think to have the type of guys in the locker room that we have now, the leadership, the guys to be able to overcome adversity, overcome mistakes, overcome turnovers, penalties, and do all that and still win a football game is pretty impressive.
Here's Blake Bortles, Jaguars quarterback, after the win yesterday in overtime, 2017. Jags over the Chargers. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli. And Pete Prisco, and we're getting news coming down now that Philip Rivers was placed in concussion protocol today after the game in Jacksonville. How about that?
When did that happen?
Pro Football Talk just had a story about 4 minutes ago, Pete.
When did that happen in the game?
They're not reporting. Anthony Lynn didn't say when it happened, but he has started 185 consecutive games, so that streak is at risk right now. Hmm.
Might have been the lick there at the interception where he tackled Boye at the goal line, maybe. Right?
But hit, he
didn't look concussed when he jumped up and jumped in his face. Did he?
And that was the last play of the game, right? I mean, if he's concussed and stayed in the game, that's a problem too, right?
Yeah, well, that happened all over the league last week, so.
Right? Sorry, I just got the best quote. I already put the Twitter question of the night down.
Yeah.
But I just got one of the best ones ever. Is Pete Prisco a leprechaun?
That must be somebody that I insulted along the way.
Somebody you blocked on Twitter.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir.
If you got blocked on Twitter, you deserve to be blocked on Twitter, by the way. Just to let you know. I don't care if you disagree with me. I don't care if you get angry at me. I don't care any of that. But if you got blocked on Twitter, you crossed the line somewhere along the way. So quit begging JP to unblock me.
Whoa. So you're drawing lines in the sand, Pete.
Man, I got a lot of great questions here. I know we already chose one. I'm struggling here.
I mean, we'll get to a couple tonight. Right. I mean, we'll get to those coming up. Right. Yeah, why not?
What about the one, Tony, what about the one, have the Jaguars been exposed as frauds? Where's he going with that?
I have no idea. I didn't like that one. Is Cleveland a trap game? I got that.
Is Cleveland a trap game?
I don't think so. I think this team's still pretty hungry. I mean, this winning is new. You have some good veterans like Calais Campbell and Barry Church who've been around and been on winning teams. I think Doug will do a good job of making sure they stay focused. And I don't think Cleveland's very good at all. So I don't think it is, but Cleveland's played some close games as of late. I mean, they were leading Detroit yesterday, weren't they, at one point?
Yeah, they were leading Detroit.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Did you see the end of the first half of that game?
They decided to go for a quarterback sneak from the 2-yard line.
No, now comes word that he checked to that.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard Kizer checked to it, and Hugh Jackson about lost his mind, and they ran out.
But isn't that ultimately the responsibility of the head coach to tell him, look, run this play, don't audible?
Yes.
And that's that.
Oh, yeah, but. Yeah. But he's not out there. He can't stop him from doing it.
And then the clock ran out, and they went off the field with dead momentum, and then no points. I mean, it just – sometimes I wonder how these guys got to the level of where they're playing at sometimes and coaching at. Do they not think situationally ever, Tony? I mean, it's like sometimes even the greatest of the greats blow it. Did you see John Fox and what he did? He challenged the call, and it cost him a chance to get a touchdown.
Yeah, but challenged him into a turnover.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That's not on John Fox. That's on his guys up in the booth who are looking at the replay. As a coach on the sideline, that's not on John Fox. Sorry.
Yeah, but, well, he makes the decision.
Yeah, but you're going off the information you have from your booth of what they saw. I mean, he can't tell on the sideline. He's sitting at the coach's box. He can't tell. No, that's on the booth.
Then ultimately, it's on him because he hired the guys in the booth.
Fine, but that immediate decision is on the guys in the booth.
Bad decision.
Hmm. Here's another great question. Since Pete Prisco is a fan of ranking players, where does Pete rank among sports journalists?
Number one in everybody's program.
I would say Pete's top five.
Top five?
Top five.
Who's above him or around him?
Yeah, well, let me rank my left tackles. Walter Jones 1, Jonathan Ogden.
I didn't.
Orlando Pace, three.
Whoa. All right. He didn't even let me finish where I was going. Wow.
I'm kidding you, Tony.
Preemptive strike, Pete.
He's top 15 now. He's moved down.
He just dropped me down.
Moving down the rankings.
Bart Hubbuck is above him.
Oh. Yeah, oh yeah. He's not a journalist anymore. He's not employed.
I know. You know I was joking with that one.
I know.
No, Pete is one of my favorite.
That's like,
writer.
That's like saying Chaz Green's ahead of you, right, by the way, after giving up six sacks.
Pete's one of the great sports writers of right now. I'll say that. As far as knowledge and understanding the game, watching tape, even though he's wrong sometimes, I disagree with his opinions, at least they're educated opinions.
Pete, does this team still hungry enough to not overlook Cleveland?
Well, I mean, yes, I do. I don't think they'll overlook Cleveland. I think in years past they would overlook Cleveland, but now they think they're good. There's a big difference. In years past, they would have won a game, and they weren't so sure they were good, and then they'd lose that game. Well, now this team is believing they're good. They really do. And, you know, again, I go back to what I said earlier. There's a swagger. They just have to rein it in a bit. I don't mind guys taunting and dancing, but you can't go over the line. That's all there is to it. Vontaze Burfict always goes over the line, and look what happens to him. He costs his team. He costs himself. You can't go over the line. But bask in it. Enjoy it. Play nasty. If you want to chat, if you want to talk, that's fine. Just don't go over the line. But that's why I think this team will go to Cleveland and actually play a good football game.
Tony, you're flipping through the phone. Any more Frisco questions in
no,
there
that's
come
good.
Across?
We'll just go on.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll get to the Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night.
Are we doing PFF tonight?
We'll do PFF
yes,
grades.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we will. And we'll get to your calls. 355-NFL-1 is the number. 355-6351. The phone lines are open. Second hour of Jaguars Monday right around the corner on Jaguars Radio.
We was talking about on the sideline as far as like the play they had in the first half when Benjamin dropped it on Gibson, and we were saying we was going to lock everything. He just take a seven, and coach told us as far as like if it was tight end flanker or if it's tight end receiver, we're going to exchange. So me and Barry was just talking about exchanging on scissors, and I already knew Rivers saw it. So I just told myself they wasn't going to throw at the gates, and I was going to bait them, and I just had to go up there and make a play for the guys.
A.J. Boye discussing the overtime interception that turned the game. Set the Jaguars up in scoring position to win it on a field goal. Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. Your call's coming up, 355-NFL-1, the number. Tony Baselli, Twitter question of the night. Pro Football Focus grades.
Should we do the Twitter question first and then the grades?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, the Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night comes from UCF Jaguar on Twitter. Which 2016 first-round pick has had a bigger impact on their respective teams, Joey Bosa or Jalen Ramsey?
It's a great question because both players are arguably the best at their position already. I think Joey Bosa is the best defensive end in football right now. That has his hand in – I mean, now, Von Miller is a better pass rusher, but he's not a defensive end. He's an outside backer, linebacker. Right. So – when I talk about a defensive lineman or defensive end, a guy who has his hand in the ground or plays a traditional 4-3 defensive end position, it was J.J. Watt until the last 2 years. Because of injuries, he's not. Right now, I don't think there's a better defensive end than Joey Bosa in all of football, that I've seen at least. Now, DeMarcus Lawrence, the cat for the Cowboys, I haven't watched the tape of him. I know he has big sack numbers. Pete, you've probably watched him quite a bit. We've seen a lot.
No, Joey Bosa's better.
I think so too. For corners, Jalen Ramsey, if he isn't the best corner in football, he's in the argument for the best corner in football.
Who's better?
Well, I think the guy
who's in the argument.
The guys you'd argue for is
Patrick Peterson,
Richard Sherman,
Xavier Rhodes.
Those are probably the three. Right now, Marcus Lattimore is playing very well
Marshawn Lattimore is playing really
Or Marshawn, good sorry. Is playing very well for the Saints. I don't think he's at the same level yet as Jalen, but he's in the conversation. But
Chris Harris is still in the conversation.
Aqib Talib, Chris Harris.
Yeah.
There's probably more guys in that conversation. It's closer than it is for Joey Bosa. You have two positions that are both premier positions in the NFL, pass rusher and shutdown corner. It's a coin flip to me. I don't think you could go wrong choosing either one of them. I think Jalen will because of the position he plays, has an opportunity to play at a high level longer, possibly. But it's a coin flip. I think you could not go wrong having either guy on your team, and both have been fabulous players.
See, I agree. I think Jalen's the best corner in the league right now. I think Bose is the best down rusher in the league right now. For me, and this is me, if I'm starting a team, I want the edge rusher first. I've always been a big believer in that. I take the quarterback first, then the edge rusher to knock the quarterback down, then the left tackle to keep that quarterback clean, and then the guy who knocks the quarterback's passes down, which would be the corner. So I would take Bosa first, but, boy, they're both really good players. Tony, who's Bosa remind you of when you watch him with all the skills and stuff he does? I mean, because he's got great hands.
That's a great question, Pete. He's like a Bruce Smith to me because he can power you, he can speed you, and he has great hand use. He has a full repertoire of pass moves at a very high level, high skill level. His bull rush is probably isn't the one of the best bull rushes in football or anything, but he has enough power to keep you on your toes. But his hands and his skill level and his athletic ability on the edge are really at a high level. I mean, so maybe
because people compared him to Watt, and it's not even close to be. I mean, Watt plays a finesse game too, but he's not as big as Watt.
Yeah, but I think he actually plays with more power than Watt.
If you watch
J.J. Watt, he's not as big as Watt. Watt is and when he was in his heyday, he was a finesse pass rusher, J.J. Watt. And I always said, well, guys got in so much trouble blocking Watt, you'd line up and look at him, and you're like, I got to get ready for the power. And he would abuse you with his quickness and he had great hips and his hands and his swim move and everything else. Not that he couldn't power you, but his go-to was his quickness. I think J.J. was more powerful in the run game than Joey Bosa. I think Joey Bosa has a better skill set than Watt at hand use. So,
I think
J.J. Watt might be a good. But think back when Bruce was at his heyday, Pete.
Yeah, I think Bruce was a little more explosive, though. A little more.
More speed?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think Bruce was a little bit more explosive. I'm trying to, because I was out there in Chargers camp this summer, and I was watching Bosa, and I'm like trying to figure out who he. And I talked to him, and I'm trying to figure out who he reminds me of. And I couldn't really come up with a comparison because he's got a weird build, kind of. He's not overly big up top, and he's kind of, I don't know. It's weird. I couldn't figure out.
Yeah, and he's not as long. He's not as long as Bruce either.
No. It's just so Bruce doesn't.
The only reason Bruce I said is, the only reason now listen, Bruce Smith is a much better pass rusher than Joey Bosa just because he did it for a longer time. But in a small, I mean, that's the type of pass rusher. I mean, he has now 20 and a half sacks in 21 games.
The youngest guy ever to get to that.
I mean, it's unreal.
It's impressive. Yeah.
But the reason I said Bruce Smith, Pete, is because Bruce could beat you so many different ways. He could beat you with the speed. He could beat you. He had great hands. He had a good spin move inside. He could power you. He could hand slap you and get on the edge. That's why I said Bruce.
Well, he didn't beat you. He didn't beat you.
But you know what I mean? I mean, so it's,
yeah.
I think it's
well, that's what I was going to ask you. How would you block? Like you see these tackles line up against Joey Bosa all the time. How would you block him?
I'd short set him.
What does that mean?
I would change it up. I mean, I'd get vertical sometimes, but I'd short set him on the line of scrimmage, take away the angle. I'd use a lot of inside hand, I'd work inside out on him and have a strong inside hand because I wouldn't be worried about him speed rushing me. And so I wouldn't set as deep for the speed. I'd change up and sometimes set deep just to give him a different look, but that's how I'd set him.
Yeah. Whereas if you have a speed edge rusher, you got to get
more depth. His best move is inside. Yeah. Joey Bosa's best move is he has a great inside move. So I'm going inside. I'm going inside out, and I'm having a really strong inside hand on him.
Well, they did this on a couple times where they move him inside and put Ingram opposite him, next to him. He actually got pressure off. He beat AJ Cam.
Oh my gosh! Like on the snap, he got on the edge of him immediately.
Yeah.
So I'm not, you know, so when I say short stay, it's not like I'm gonna just set a line of scrimmage, but I'm going at a more of an angle and taking away.
Right.
Because I wouldn't be as worried about his speed. At the same time, I would also, I mean, when I went vertical, I wouldn't be overly worried about his power running me over, and so I would set for his. I'd be slow. I'd be very patient with my hands because he wants you to put your hands out there so he can slap them and get on the edge. And I would recover to his bull rush. So if he bowled me, I'd recover, and I think I could. And then I would work his hands too. I'd slap his hands down a lot as he started reaching for me. I'm gonna hand fight him.
I love that when you talk like that. That's great stuff. It really is. Just to talk about the dynamic of how you would play a guy, and because you know you don't nowadays you don't hear guys talking like that anymore. You just don't. He's terrific with his hands.
His hands, it's a hand fight. You got to be patient, inside out. I mean, change the angles on him. You can't set the same way every time on him because he's a smart player, and he'll start setting you up. So you have to work different angles. Short him, set him, get deep. If he's outside the tight end, replace the tight end, then get vertical on him. I think you really got to stay square. One of the things Cam got in trouble. Cam struggled with him yesterday. You cannot turn too early on him because you turn and give him that soft edge and you give him multiple go where he can work you inside or outside. So I'm staying square with him as long as I can and force him to declare first what he wants to do. I'll tell you who else is a dang good pass rusher. That Ingram. Holy cow.
They're good. They're really good.
Ingram was killing us.
He's tough. He's nasty.
Ingram is physical. He's more physical. Tony, I think he's more physical than Bosa.
Yes, I do. I agree with you. It's funny because when I talked to them both this summer, you know, there are certain players you talk to and you go, all right, yeah, you know, he's a tough guy. You talk to Ingram, man, he's just downright nasty.
He is nasty. And he's strong. You know who he reminds me of? Brian Cox.
A lot. Yeah. He's nasty, tough, physical.
He's real physical, can speed you. He has, you know, not great skills as a pure pass rusher, but has enough where he can spin, he can beat you inside. I think Ingram has more skill. I don't know if he's as strong as Brian Cox was. I think he has more skill than Cox, and he's a better pure pass rusher than Brian Cox, but just the way they play with the nastiness.
Nasty.
They remind me of each other.
That's a very good comparison. I like that.
And nasty. Brian Cox was a heck of a player. I mean, I remember playing in the playoffs. It was a fist fight for the four quarters.
Yeah, he's tough.
Each week here on Jaguars Monday, we go through the Pro Football Focus grades from the Jaguars game the previous day. The Jags, of course, beat the Chargers in overtime, 2017. Pete, what you got tonight for Tony? We got to get him riled up here. He's too calm tonight.
I don't think he's going to get riled up. To be honest with you, you want me to start with the offense? I mean, because
I'll say this:
offensively,
I don't think there was one person in the green. Maybe Cole. Keelan Cole.
No, Yeldon.
Yeah, you know what? Yeldon did play well.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did play well. That's a good call, Pete.
Third down stuff.
That's okay. It.
Sure.
After that,
okay.
I would give.
Lowest rated player is who? They're all in the red. Who's the lowest rated player?
Josh Wells.
By far. Who's next?
Cam Robinson's probably not far behind.
Bingo. You're spot on. Who's.
AJ Cam wasn't much better.
He's right there with him. Omame was bad, too.
Shatley played better than all of them.
They had Linder as the best one.
Well, I mean, everyone else we'd mentioned that point. Yeah, Linder played the best, and I think it was very good. One of Linder's best games either.
They got him as a green in pass protection, but a deep red in run block.
I'd agree with Linder. I don't think Marquise had a good game. He had a couple drops. One
minus,
big
minus.
I mean, Mercedes, the one in overtime. You got to catch that ball.
Yes, you do.
It's a diving play. It's tough, but yeah.
No, it was not a diving play. Hit him in the hands.
No.
Now the Cole catch, if he'd have caught, that would have been a really good catch. But he still had both hands on it. Now it would have been a.
Yeah, he's got to catch that.
You got to catch it. Now the Cole catch was tougher because he was reaching out full speed trying to catch a ball coming down. It was a good throw by Blake. I don't think Mercedes played exceptionally well.
Nope. Minus.
Hit a couple drops.
All of them. Everybody across the board.
Blake didn't play well.
Minus. Big minus.
The only green would be Eldon. I don't think Fournette was particularly great. He wasn't explosive.
Nope, he's in the minus two.
Bortles outrushed him.
Yes.
So, yeah, yeah, so, I don't think
so,
any of them.
So Tony's not going to complain about the
grades. They're right. They were right there.
Let's go to the
first
defense.
Time ever. They were right.
Let's go to defense. Highest rated defensive player.
Ooh.
Great I thought question. Telvin played really well.
I thought he did too, but he's not the highest. They gave him a great grade in run defense. They gave him a negative in pass coverage.
He had the one on the touchdown. I thought he was a little late in reacting.
He got picked. Didn't he get picked on
No,
that
was
one?
A different one he got picked on.
Yeah, he got picked on the one.
What about Miles?
So who's the highest rated?
Miles. Nope.
I thought he played good. I thought he did some good things too yesterday. Calais is number one.
I've actually thought it was Clay. I thought he played well against the run. He had one or two good rushes, but
they have a great. They gave him a great grade in the run defense.
Yeah,
and a pretty good grade in pass defense.
I'll say this: the first guy I've seen block him consistently was Russell Okun. I give him credit.
You think familiarity has something to do with that?
Possibly. He was. I mean, he blocked him well.
Who's the second
the best offensive lineman on either team yesterday was Russell Okun. Okay. In my opinion, I thought he played well. I'd be interested to see what they gave, kind of grade they gave him, Pete.
I'll tell you in a second. Right now, I can look at it.
Secondary wise, I thought outside of one series, I thought Gibson played well.
They gave Okun. They didn't get a big positive, but they gave him. He's in the positive.
So yeah,
he's the only one.
Yeah,
he's the only one.
So he played the best of anybody. Is my point.
Yep.
The AJ had the nice pick. I mean, I thought the overall the secondary plays pretty well every week.
The highest rated secondary player was AJ.
Yeah, he had the pick. That makes sense.
Then it was Jalen, and then Colvin, who I thought made some really good
Colvin
plays.
Played well. I thought the whole all five of them, the start and secondary and nickel, I thought played very well.
Yeah, Church played good.
Yeah.
And so did Gibson. So,
I thought Gibson had
positive.
One bad series where he –
And he's in the negative. He's not negative, but he's not in the green.
Yeah.
He's right behind.
I thought Miles Jack and Telvin both played well.
And they did. They got both good grades. Marcel Darius got a good grade.
I thought Darius.
How about the one play he put the center on his backside?
I think
unbelievable.
I think Marcel Darius should be starting
right now.
Right now.
It sounds like Doug Marrone this afternoon was saying they got to get him some more snaps.
No, he's not playing enough. He is not playing enough.
He had 27. He had 27 yesterday.
He should be playing 60%. He should be playing 60% of the plays. It should be the start.
Give him 48 snaps and give Avery Jones 20.
That's exactly right.
Snaps.
Darius should be the starting defensive line should be Calais Campbell, Malik Jackson, Marcel Darius, and Unique Ngakoue.
They gave
Unique.
Yes,
Malik
unique.
Jackson.
What I said the first time.
They unique.
Gave, oh, he's unique.
They
too.
Gave you,
he is
they,
unique.
They gave Malik Jackson a good grade.
Yeah, I thought Malik played well too. Big fumble caused fumble.
So yeah, so the defense as a whole got pretty much good grades. What's happened to Fowler? Is he banged up?
He did nothing yesterday.
Yeah, he didn't look like the same player.
All right, hey, let's get to the phone lines. We'll get one call in before the break. Phone lines are open 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go out to Marshall Landing. Mike is on the line tonight to get us going. Good
I'm
evening,
the
PV, Mike.
Pontevedra crowd.
Yeah, you're neck of the woods, Tony. Yeah. What's up, Mike? Good evening.
Well, I was really disappointed in Doug Marrone's comments about his post-game comments, which, you know, may have been a bit flippant and trivial in the grand scheme of things, but complaining about, you know, how rough it is to be a coach of this football team where Tom Coughlin is the guy really taking all the responsibility. This team is loaded with talent, and to hear this guy complain, who came from Buffalo, what was he in Buffalo? How many games did this guy win in Buffalo? He was no good in Buffalo. He comes down here, he's got...
Whoa, okay, so time out.
Did they win nine games?
Hold on.
They won nine games.
What's this guy's name? What's his name
Mike.
Again? Mike, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, let me just say something to you real quick. Number one, in Buffalo this last season on a team that hadn't won in a long time, they were 9-7. They had a winning record. That's the first thing. Second thing.
They're not that bad this year either. So,
okay, just stop. Just
I'm
stop.
Not sure how much
Mike,
that was Doug Marrone.
Okay, Mike, quiet. Just quiet for a second, then you can talk. All right? Otherwise, we're going to have to sign.
No, you're the pride of the Jaguars. I'm listening.
Okay, that's number one. They're 9-7.
You don't have to remind him, Mike.
Thank you. Number two, to say all the responsibility is on Tom Coughlin's plate is not only inaccurate, it's unfair to Doug Marrone. Doug Marrone is the head coach of this team. Doug Marrone dictates the schedule and how they do things. Doug Marrone controls the practice, how they practice, who plays, who doesn't play, inactives, everything, game time situations, when they go for it, when they punt. That is his decision. Tom Coughlin is the vice president of football operations, overseeing the big picture of everything that goes on the football side of the building. So, two, you are dead wrong on that.
Okay.
That you're just not wrong. Okay. And the third thing that you said was stupid. I can't remember what it was.
Well, why? Here's what it was.
Have you ever heard Pete Carroll or Bill Belichick or any other, or Tom Coughlin or any other great coach in the NFL, after a game like this, go on TV and start crying about how hard things were for him? Oh, boo-hoo!
Okay, stop again. You're taking his context, his comments, completely out of context.
Right.
Completely. I actually, and Pete said it, I think it's refreshing. He was joking around with the media saying, that game was exhausting. And we read through the last 2 minutes. I was exhausted in the press box, and I didn't do anything of trying to call the dang thing. It was exhausting, the ups and the downs and the emotions. What you don't understand is coaches and players, especially even the people close to the organization who work for it, live and die. And I know the fans do too, but this is their livelihood. Live and die with every moment, everything going on, and all the big decisions are on one guy's shoulders, and that's Doug Marrone. And I thought it was refreshing. He sat there and says, wow, that game was exhausting. I don't think he was complaining. I think he was just saying it. And does Bill Belichick say that? No, because he doesn't say anything. Nothing.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Does Pete Carroll say that? I have no idea. I don't listen to all Pete Carroll's comments. But
I think Pete would say stuff like that.
Yeah, I think Pete would joke around like that. You are so wrong in your assessment of saying this and saying that Doug Marrone was whining. Are you kidding me? You sound that stupid.
He wasn't whining.
One of the worst calls I've ever had on this show.
One of the worst. No, the worst was what? No, the best call was like a week or two
last week sometime.
Yeah. So this is the one of the worst. One of the worst.
He took
everything to heart. He wasn't.
Well, no, he took everything
around.
You always said, Pete, to heart. You always say the one that's Tom's still the coach. You're the one that's egging
that's
all this
joke.
On.
That's one of my running. That's one of my
running
jokes. Yeah,
but Pete,
yeah.
But you go, joking? Pete. People like this take it.
See,
I blame you for this.
No, you blame me. You know I'm kidding around. If Tom was coaching, he would put up with those personal foul penalties about sports.
Oh, like, wait a second now, Pete. We saw it. There was a certain really good wide receiver that had a few in New York.
When?
Odell? We didn't have some tantrums on the field and the sidelines and people were...
That was later day. That was the
okay,
the
my point is saying that. But
right. But back in the day when you was coaching your team, he wouldn't have taken that. He wouldn't have put up with that.
Here's the thing. I'll say this. Tom is a strict disciplinarian. Tough and would not put up with nonsense. I'm not going to speak what happened to the Giants because I don't know. I think it was probably very similar at the Giants. But here, you're exactly right. But as one who got several late hit and personal fouls and gotten a scuffle or two, Tom likes players who play on the edge. And he will put up with a little bit if you're playing physical and nasty. What he doesn't like is dumb things when you're running your mouth that are or what Marquise did, and neither does Doug, by the way, what Marquise did in the end zone. But if you're
pressing the envelope on late hits and physical stuff and setting
the tone for the team, he doesn't want the penalty, but he would not. Right. He never.
If you're Cam Robinson coming in cleaning off the top,
never,
he's good with that.
Never ripped me once. Now, he might say you got to be smarter or stuff like that, but never got after me in that way. So,
interesting.
And I think Doug's similar, by the way.
Yeah.
I agree. But you got to. You can't go.
No, but you can't be dancing
line.
In the flipping end zone.
Right.
Give me a break.
Right.
After you got hit. What'd you do? I got hit. So what'd you do? I danced. Well, it's great. Congratulations.
So we're off and running on phone calls. We'll come back.
Holy cow, Mike. You're from Ponte Vedra. You need to move.
Wow.
Jeez.
I'm joking.
Tony from the top rope. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. Your calls when we return. 355-NFL-1, the number, 355-6351. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
The most important thing is to understand that you cannot hurt the team. You really can't. You know, and when you have that emotional, and I've learned this a long time ago for someone that's coached in this league, you know, 30-something years. And I remind myself, guys, every time I come up here, you know, if I want to say something, and the only person that's going to benefit is myself, I shouldn't say it. And I think it's the same thing. If I want to react to something, and the only person that reaction is going to benefit is myself, you know what I'm saying, but it's going to hurt your team, you can't do that. So, you know, I've got to do a better job. That comes to me. There's no doubt about it.
Doug Marrone, when asked about the taunting penalties. Yes, Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick. Yeah, that's Tony Boselli.
Pete Prisco. I got a tweet about your question about Bosa, and I think this is an interesting one. I don't know if I agree with it, who he compares with.
Yeah.
And it's our it's Chris, our friend down the hall. He says, Bosa is a powerful Jason Taylor with a little less quickness.
I don't like that comparison. I don't like that comparison at all. You know, somebody once said to me, Javon Kearse, but I don't see the speed there at all.
No, he is not Javon Kearse. Playing both guys, I would play them completely different.
How about
think the Jason Taylor one isn't that bad, actually, because Jason had sneaky power. And had
but not as much power as Bosa.
No, that's what I'm saying. But he was crafty, and he could beat you around the corner probably better than Bosa. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard comparing players. Good.
Well, he's a real hard. Sometimes you can compare players. He's just a tough comparison.
I guess here's my point. You know what is where it's hard to compare players? Is when you're really good and you are the best or you have the potential to be the best. It's hard to compare. Like, who would you compare Bruce Smith to? Who would you compare Reggie White to? Who would you contain Derek Thomas to or Lawrence Taylor? I mean, they're all –
they're one of a kind.
I mean, they're unique.
Yeah.
And so – and I'm not saying that Joey Bosa is at that level yet, but if he continues on the pace he is, he's going to be.
Well, like Deion Sanders, who could you compare him to back in there?
Yeah, I mean, nobody. It's Deion.
Barry Sanders.
Nobody. I mean, Gale Sayers, right. Sayers, they used to say. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, Gale Sayers was a lot like Barry Sanders.
Let's go back to the phone line, shall we? We can only go up from here. 355.
You got an interesting tweet.
Yeah, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. I got a tweet from at KayakFish, PHISH. Wow, after that last call, I'm embarrassed that my name is also Mike. I may change it. How about that? Let's go to Chris on the west side to discuss the quarterback. Chris, good evening. Thanks for holding.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm doing great because the Jaguars managed to beat an elite quarterback and the Chargers, obviously. But on top of that, they beat the refs and they beat a little bit of Blake Bortles.
Okay, hold on. When you say the ref, how'd they beat the ref?
I'll give you the example. Yes, Marquise Lee should have been flagged for taunting.
Yeah.
But that also should have been a flag for targeting.
No.
Offset.
Disagree.
And play the play again.
Disagree.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it was targeting.
It was not targeting.
I thought it was.
You look at it in slow motion, he hits him in the chest with his shoulder.
Yeah.
But it's a defenseless receiver.
No, he's going up for the ball and he's playing. I mean, you can go play the man if he's going up for the ball. Hey, he doesn't know that it's over.
You have to hit him with the crown of your helmet if it's a defenseless receiver. That's all I'm saying.
He didn't hit him with the crown of his helmet.
That's what I'm saying. It's a defenseless receiver. It doesn't matter.
What?
Yeah, but look, when you look at the play, he's going to make a play on the ball. That wasn't I don't think it was a defensive.
I don't either.
You asked me for example, that's one of many.
I don't think that's a bad
pick
call.
Another one.
Yeah, pick another one.
play it again.
All the holding calls that never got called that entire game?
On which team?
The Chargers.
But here's the thing, man. I watched the tape and I could have shown times they could have called holding on our tackles too. I'm just telling you, I watched it. I did not think there was, at least holding-wise, there was any – I didn't think the officials had anything to do with that game. I don't think – there was nothing, I mean, bad call that I thought was, you know, that led to the outcome one way or another. You know, I mean, I thought you could have argued, you know, look at the biggest call of the game was the Joey Bosa – roughing the passer we got. Take that all day long.
I'm just telling you how I felt. It felt like beating the refs that game.
Okay.
It felt great.
I'm just telling you I disagree, but that's okay.
Yeah, I disagree with them too.
Well, the whole point of the call is, I mean, Blake Bortles still has to show me something in the fourth quarter. It's like when the play script from Nathaniel Hackett runs out, he's toast. He's got nothing.
Now, listen, wait a second. Now, in the third quarter, when they couldn't run it the length of a football, they threw it 11 straight times and put the ball in his hands, and it's the only touchdown they scored all day.
And 12 if you count the two-point conversion.
So, in fairness, that was not during a scripted period. That was third quarter. They had no answer on the ground. They couldn't run it at all. The offensive line was not blocking great. He was getting hammered in the pocket. And for a 12-play stretch, he was pretty good. He led him to a touchdown. Now, in the fourth quarter, I agree with you. You're right about the fourth quarter.
It's almost like throwing 11 straight passes caught the Chargers off guard or something. You know, but anyways, my point is, look, it's Victory Monday. I'm going to end it on a positive note. This comes from T-Wig. I didn't think about this myself, but he brought up how brave Blake is as a quarterback. And I'll kind of preface it by saying there's a country song that says, if you're going to be dumb, you better be tough. And that's Blake Bortles to a T.
Thank you for the call.
I don't know if that's a compliment.
Nice.
I don't know if he's dumb. I don't know if he's dumb.
I don't either.
I mean, look, Blake's a lot of things. He's
inaccurate.
Tough. I think he's tough. He's not accurate.
He's tough. I'll tell you this. He's tough, and he's a competitor. I love the guy.
A competitor.
I root for him because I want him.
And he's a good dude.
Yes.
He's a good dude. He stands up when he takes a beating. He stands up for himself. I mean, he answers all the questions. But
I want him to
be. Is he capable of putting a team on his right arm? The answer to that is probably no.
And I want it to be different. I want the next seven games to him to be awesome in the fourth quarter and win a couple games late. Because I like him that much, but we just haven't seen it yet.
I mean, you thought that the drive in the third quarter was a preview of what was coming.
Oh, I thought, here we go, boys.
And it wasn't.
And it stopped.
One more call tonight. Well, one more call for now. Ray in Mandarin.
We got a lot of calls
to wrap up this segment.
We don't want to deny people.
Ray, good evening.
Hey, good evening, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I'm going to be quick. I have a question. And then,
Ray,
and then
your name
comment.
Is Leo. Oh, how come you're going
Ray?
By
Ray? What are you talking about?
Wait, this is Leo. He calls all the time Leo. Your name is Leo.
Yeah, hey, what's up, Pete? What's up? Yeah, you busted me, dude, because listen.
Why'd you say Ray, then?
Well, because I have to go incognito.
What a joke.
Wait, don't hang up, dude. Don't hang up. Listen, I'll tell you why I did that.
I can't wait.
Because you're a fraud?
No, Tony, come on, buddy. Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. I agree with you, dude. Hey. Marone is a boss, dude, and people need to not forget that. And, you know, a lot of people take jabs and, like, Tom Coughlin and stuff. Marone is a boss, and y'all need not forget. But listen, I want to ask you a question.
No, but first, you're not allowed to answer.
Don't you think that Tayshaun Gibson play?
Leo / Ray, you are not allowed to ask a question until you tell us why you lied about your name.
Because I'm trying to stay incognito right now.
That worked well. Jeez.
Hey, I knew who you were 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 seconds.
But Pete, why you cut me out like that? Pete, you know I love y'all.
Because I do.
Listen, seriously.
Because you're not Ray. That's why.
Your name is Leo.
Who are you hiding from? Like your girlfriend, wife?
Stop. Tony, look, man, listen. Don't y'all think the Tayshaun Gibson play should have been a touchdown?
No, he was laying on the body of the running back.
So let me ask you something then, Tony. Let me ask you something. Okay, I'm going to take you back to the Jets game. Powell tripped over.
No, he didn't. He never touched him.
He tripped over Tevin Smith.
No, he did not.
No, he didn't. He never touched
him.
And if
a foot is allowed to let him go there, then the foot. And listen, as a real fan, then you can't say,
Leo, they called a touchdown on the field.
Leo,
I didn't see enough conclusive evidence.
What do you mean? He was laying on his leg. It was plain as day.
That was a Jaguars player's leg. That was his own teammate's leg.
No, it wasn't.
You're crazy.
No, it wasn't.
I'm a real fan, man. That should have ended the game right there. I was frustrated. But I'm glad they got – hey, listen, one more thing. Listen, these guys have got to stop with this, though, because this is upsetting me. I like the swagger and everything, but all this talk about, like, look, man, you got to keep winning and winning the playoffs, dude. This window closes quick. Remember Revis Island? Remember Richard Sherman? No fly zone, Aqib Talib, and all them. Where are they at now?
Well,
this window closes.
Okay, hold on now.
Tone back on the we're the best team ever. Go win some more games. Win into the playoffs. and they need to reel back all that cockiness.
Okay, hold on now. Until Richard Sherman tore his Achilles last week, it was still the no-fly zone. And last time I checked, Aqib Talib is still one of the best corners in football.
Mm-hmm. Revis got old.
And Revis was old for about an eight-year period. It was Revis Island.
Yeah. Thanks, Raymond.
Hey,
for the call.
One thing I wanted to bring up, too, while we're getting on the showboat and all that stuff. What was A.J. Boye doing raising the ball up after his interception?
I don't know.
He's trying to be Dion or something.
I have no idea. Mean,
they got to stop with that stuff, seriously. Mm. Look, somebody could knock it away. You're playing for a win. It's not the end of the game when you're up 20 points, you know? It's just they got to knock that stuff off.
Let's come back, get a couple more calls. We'll get to the AFC South, the power rankings from Tony and Pete. Right around the corner. I have a feeling how they'll go.
No, I mean, but it's kind of anticlimactic right now.
You say that, yeah.
Well, it is. Here, let me go.
No.
Give it to me.
Check out Jack Hanna. His Audi
give it to
Jacksonville
him.
On Blanding.
He wasn't going to get it right,
a
by
beautiful
the way.
It was the Audi one, too. The Audi one's my kryptonite.
From just $229 a month. I'm trying to help you, Tony. Head over today for details. I'm trying to help you.
Audi is my kryptonite.
Trying to help you. More of your calls when we come back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
We're growing every day. You know, we still got a lot more room to grow, too. You know, we're getting better, you know, every single day. And I like it. You know, I like where we're at right now, 6-3. You know, we're another team that's fighting every day. You know, we have to go up to next week. You know, and it's going to be a battle. You know, but, you know, right now, I like where we're at. You know, 6-3, we're a lot of possibility.
Calais Campbell in the locker room. After yesterday's win, J.P. Shadrick. Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday.
So speaking of the missed calls, was that Ray/Leo was talking about officials, or was it the guy before? Whoever was talking about officials. You know, the one call I did think they missed was the false start they called on Cam Robinson. And Jeff and I argued about this on the air, and he said,
I think you were wrong on the air.
You think I was wrong?
Yeah.
So you think that you don't think that was a penalty?
I think if he's in the neutral zone, it's a penalty.
Okay, so let me read the rule
okay.
out of the NFL rule book.
Okay, hit us.
It says, no player of the defensive team within 1 yard of the line of scrimmage may make an abrupt movement in an attempt to cause the offense to false start.
What about a fake blitz?
No, if you run up and
you can't run up the line and stop?
If you make – no. It says within 1 yard. And so if they start back and they run up and stop, that's legal. It's talking about if you line up within 1 yard of the line of scrimmage and you make an abrupt –
like a flinch.
Yeah, an abrupt movement.
Like a flinch.
And they,
so a flinch can cause a false start,
yes.
And no matter if you're on your side.
Huh? Yes.
No, like, okay, not a flinch, but like a real like if you
– an abrupt movement.
He did.
Like he did.
Okay.
And Jeff was saying, oh, he has to be in the neutral zone.
That's what I thought.
No, it doesn't say anything about him having to be in the neutral zone at all. It goes back to the old Neil Smith, Bruce Smith days where they used to flinch real hard and draw offensive linemen off, and they changed the rule. And if you flinch or make an abrupt movement as a defensive lineman lined up with 1 yard, a linebacker can run up and stop to time up the blitz, but if you're lined up within a yard and make that abrupt movement, it's a penalty.
All right, so remember a few years ago the Patriots were here, I believe, and we were at the goal line, probably at the 1 yard line. And the three defensive linemen in the middle did a quick shift and, like, moved in together at the line of scrimmage. And we false started and moved back. So would that count in this? They called a shift at the line, boom, and they false started.
That's a good question. No, because the shift, they were going along the line of scrimmage.
It wasn't forward.
He made a movement forward.
Okay. Right, he made a forward move.
Has to be
a forward move.
Doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that.
An abrupt move. If he like say he's in his stance or whatever, and he abruptly jumps to the right or to the left, that could be taken as a abrupt move too.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, here's the thing, because Jeff and I argue this on the air, and because Jeff says no, they have to be in the neutral zone for it to count, and I didn't think that was the rule. But
and you're looking at the rule right now.
Well, it's interesting.
It is.
I mean, Pete, what do you think? I mean,
if a defensive lineman comes to the line of scrimmage, puts his hand on the ground or whatever, and he makes an abrupt move to draw the guy off, it's a penalty on the defensive lineman.
Yeah, that's how I read it, too. And they didn't call it. They called it on cam.
Right. By the way, the one called at the end of the game, that is – I can't remember the last time I've seen that one called. Can you?
Which one was that?
Oh, the delay of game delay on the field game goal on the defense?
You never see that.
Tony, when you were at the line, did you have guys trying to get you to jump off by calling signals as a defense?
Yeah, they make, like, shift.
Hut, go.
No, they, not the hut, but they go, shift, move, real quick.
Right. So, and it's never called. It's never called. So no. I don't know what the guy did to call.
Newton! Snap it! Hey, one more call tonight. Clay in Fleming Island. Good evening, Clay. You're on the air. What's up? Clay, you're on the air. Good evening. Clay, you're off the air. Good night and good luck.
Yeah.
Are you on the air? Clay, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, you're on the air. What's up? Let's go.
Hey, just wanted to say that it was a fun game. I took my daughter, 4 years old, to the game for the first time at Bank, so that was a good time. And I went to the London game this year, so that was also a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But just wanted to see about the Doug Marrone decision not to punt or to kick on third down instead of fourth. That to me kind of went a little out there, and I just wanted to get y'all's opinion, and I'll take it off the air.
Yeah, we discussed this a little bit earlier tonight. I think we're all in agreement here that it should have happened on third down, right? I mean, that
right. We agree on that. We don't agree on how they played the end of the game.
It worked out though, so no harm, no foul, right?
Right, but you got to play it out and think it out again. Now you look at it, and if he went back and if you're Doug Marrone and you go back and evaluate that end of game,
bottom line is kicking on third down. It's as easy as that.
Right, but you also don't give away yards when you got a deep snapper that can't snap the ball.
The bigger issue is just.
Kick the ball.
On third down. Yeah. So here
again, Tony, but you play it all out.
Fine. Rule book rule 5D out of the NFL operations rule book. A defensive player aligned with in a stationary position within 1 yard of the line of scrimmage makes a quick and abrupt actions that are not part of the normal defensive player movement and are an obvious attempt to cause the offensive player to false start. So
like if you jump off sides, it's not always the same thing.
So maybe they were saying that wasn't he wasn't purposely trying to draw.
Right.
It was a normal football movement. He wasn't. That's why you can shift. That's a normal football movement.
Okay. Yeah.
So maybe they were saying he didn't enter the neutral zone, which was very close, by the way, too. If you look at it, he was close to me.
I thought he was in. Yeah.
I did too. Or if it's a football movement, but you're not in the neutral zone, but. I just think reading the rule, I thought Cam did the right thing by moving and that it should have been a penalty. It says if a defender is walking or running toward the line of scrimmage in an effort to time the snap but stops abruptly because the snap is not made, it is not a foul or delay of game.
There you have it.
Right.
So that's how the rule book, I think you could read it. I thought it should have been a penalty. It has nothing to do with neutral zone, though.
Very interesting.
It's what kind of move you make from your spot. That's what it basically comes down to.
All right, let's get to our AFC South standings. It's a two-horse race. Tennessee and Jacksonville both 6-3. Houston 3-6. Indy 3-7. The Steelers overtook the Colts yesterday. Colts led 17-3 until midway through the third quarter. Smith-Schuster scored. McDonald scored. Boswell hit the field goal to win it. Titans over the Bengals 24-20. DeMarco Murray had 3 total touchdowns, including the game winner to seal it late, and the Rams destroyed the Texans 33-7. The Rams are now 7-2, and the Texans' defense had a bad day at the old ballpark. How about your power rankings in the AFC South, gentlemen?
I'm going the Jaguars 1, Titans 2, Colts 3, Texans, who are a dumpster fire, 4.
Agree with you 100%. I think it's pretty easy right now. I don't think the Titans play. Are you doing their game Thursday, Tony, against the Steelers?
Yep.
The Titans aren't that good on defense, and that they had 2 big busts in the secondary yesterday for big plays, one the AJ Green, one the LaFell. If I'm Pittsburgh this week, they haven't played great on offense. I think this is an opportunity for them to get going. But
Big Ben has not been good. Big Ben has not been good. 12 touchdowns against 10 interceptions.
But I think he's good this week. I think Thursday night, the game you watch, he'll be very good.
5 of those were against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Remember?
Still 10.
Yeah.
Well, you'd have thought he'd been good last week against the Colts, who aren't very good, and he wasn't. So I'm not sure what makes you think he's going to be good against the Titans. I think the interesting matchup will be back when the Titans and the Jaguars play again, because they ran the ball pretty well against this Jaguar defense. With the addition of Darius in the middle, I think that all changes.
And Mariota's not playing great football, by the way. I thought he would take the next step. It's funny. We sat here
2 years ago.
Last year we thought Mariota and Winston would be the two young quarterbacks to take the next step. And it was Goff and Wentz, right?
Wentz is the best of them all, and Goff is having a very good year as well.
Yeah, he's good. They're good. Tennessee, to me, worries me a little bit. I'm just concerned about their defense. I think Pittsburgh puts a number on them. What Jacksonville needs to happen is for some team, because Tennessee's schedule, if you look at it, it's really similar to what the Jaguars play. They need some team, like the Bengals yesterday could have upset them. They need a team to upset them along the way so that that last game of the season doesn't really matter.
With the 7 left to play for the Jaguars, Pete, what's the Jaguars' record over the last 7 games?
5-2.
And the 2 losses will be 2?
Maybe the last game of the year in Seattle. You?
6-1.
What's the one?
God, he's putting him in the
What's the one? What's the one? Seattle?
I would be convinced it was Seattle, but now I'm not so sure.
I'm not sure.
Without Sherman.
Like, there's only reason I'm not saying 7-0 because I don't think this.
Because nobody would believe you.
Yeah. Well, no one.
Because Tony doesn't think the last game will mean anything. That's why.
The rest of the starters. It'll be the one seed.
I'll say this, Pete. If they win the next 6 and they are 12-3. The last game could mean getting a bye in the playoffs.
Well, I mean,
stuff.
If New England stumbles, then maybe they get the number 1 seed in your scenario. Come on, Tony. All right, I'm going to read you the Titans schedule. Tell me which ones of these they lose.
Did we do this last week?
We did. We're going to do it every week from here on out, I think.
No, we did this.
At Steelers Thursday night.
The Steelers win that game.
Okay. Home again at the Colts.
They're going to win that.
Really? Because they have trouble with them over the history of their.
The Titans almost lost them at home. The Titans will
Texans. Everybody's beating the Texans.
They're terrible.
At home. At the Cardinals.
They'll win. They're terrible.
At the 49ers.
They're going to beat them.
And then they play home against the Rams.
That's a loss.
And then they play Jacksonville. So what they need is for them to lose. Even if they lost twice and Jacksonville lost once, that last game would still be for the division title.
That's right. Because of the tiebreaker.
So no matter what, the way I see it, they're going to play for the division title.
We'll come back in a moment.
Let him read it.
I want to read it.
Okay.
Tell me which one.
All right, that one right there.
No, don't tell him. Just give it to him.
He has to point it out.
That one.
The JTA Game Express.
Oh, my God.
What?
Game Day Express.
Oh, Game Day. I didn't see the last thing. The JTA Game Day Express features 2
downtown
locations, along with rides from the north side.
He's doing it on purpose.
JTB and Phillips Highway. And the beaches. But your tickets now.
All right. No, you butchered it. He butchered it.
It was so close.
Buy your tickets now at JTA FLA.
He's doing it on purpose.
He has to be.
It can't be that bad.
It's more
fun. You know what's great,
too,
JP? Is the way he goes through. And Phillips.
Let me read it right for these guys. I'm going
to
read it right for JTA. I was joking around.
No, you were.
I was, too.
Okay, read it. I don't think you were, but we got to get to the last
The JTA segment. Game Day Express features 2 downtown locations, along with the rides from the north side, JTB and Phillips Highway, and the beaches. Buy your tickets now at jtafla.com.
Thank you.
You're like the kid in second grade who got all Fs and you finally got a D and we got to clap for it.
Pete, if I got them all right, it would be no fun.
We'll go around the league when we come back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Pushing each other like this. We keep loving each other like this.
Yes, sir.
We keep going out and battling like this.
Yes, sir.
I promise you, bro. It's the top and we ain't stopping.
Yes, sir.
And we ain't stopping.
Yes, sir.
Family on me. Jazz on 3. 1, 2, 3.
There's Telvin Smith in the locker room, courtesy of Jaguars.com. After the game, Jags won it 20-17 in overtime over the Chargers. Final moments of Jaguars Monday.
JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, and Pete Prisco. Let's go around the National Football League.
Hey, Pete, before we go around the National Football League, I got to say
one thing. We already started the music.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. No.
You should see the copy that JP reads from. It is honestly.
Is it big?
No, it's like 6 font. Part of the problem is I can't even see the words. It is so small. I go, JP, why do you make it so small? He goes, job security.
What?
Because he doesn't want anyone else to be able to see it. I mean, I'm joking around when I read these, but in all seriousness,
no, you're not at all.
Yes,
no,
I am.
Can't read them.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Joe, I read the cards that you present, is it a problem?
Tell him, Joe.
No, it's not.
Yes.
No.
You killed the McKenzie's run liner yesterday.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
I did not kill the McKenzie liner.
So wait a minute. JP, hang on. And you too, Pete. So you're saying you're doing this on purpose. Because it's funny.
I'm not taking it
so
serious.
So you're purposely doing a disservice to the people who
read this.
Expect
okay, I'll read
the
it
liner
read
to
it.
Be
here.
Read.
I'll read it right now. This is pressure now. Join the Jaguars for the 8th annual McKenzie Run, a 5K run and walk plus a 1 mile fun run on November 18th.
You're already wrong.
McKenzie's run.
Read the card, meat. What are you doing? Give me that. Get out of here.
McKenzie's run.
Can we go around 5K the league?
Run. I'm gonna read it.
Go ahead.
I thought it was a promo.
Go
was
ahead,
to read.
Please.
Run and walk plus a 1 mile fun run on November 18th at Everbank Field. See Jackson DeVille and The Roar plus a fun after party with live music and games. Participants finish inside the stadium and appear on the world's largest video boards. The run benefits the McKenzie Noel Wilson Foundation and their mission to help young people recognize their full potential. Visit McKenzie'sRun.org to register. Normal font I can read. Thank you.
That's great.
I would love. By the way, I know we got to go around the league, but I would love for Joe to find that Daly's place where he talks about the barista.
I tried to look for it. Apparently, he didn't do it here. He must have done it over 10-10. You're lucky.
Let's hit some games from yesterday. What about these Nolan Saints? They can play a little defense now, Pete.
Well, how about they run the ball and score all those touchdowns and Drew Brees doesn't throw one? I mean, that tells you where they are right now. They're running the ball. Their defense is really good. I mean, they're 5th in the league in total defense. Having said all that, this is the quarterbacks they've beaten in the last 6 weeks. You ready? Cutler, Trubisky, Brett Hundley, Tyrod Taylor, Jameis Winston went out. They beat Fitzpatrick, and one other one they beat. They Stafford, but it was a weird game. They play some quarterbacks coming up. They got Matt Ryan twice. They got Kirk Cousins this week. We'll know more about their defense.
In fairness, though, Stafford is a good quarterback. And give Sean Payton credit because he's reinvented this team. They were good. They were terrible. He's rebuilt it. He's a good football coach, Pete.
He's a hell of a football coach. And there was talk about him not coming back before the season, remember?
Yeah, he's a good football coach.
Let's see. What else we want to go? Vikings.
Joe, you talk about me. Bro, see where else we want to go.
Bridgewater suited up yesterday. He didn't play, though. He was crying on the sideline. Keenum threw 4 touchdowns and a win. Emotional day for Bridgewater. Vikings got it done over the Reds.
Case Keenum should be the quarterback of that team moving forward. He's playing good football right now, and they're winning.
If you signed up before the season and you said, okay, we're going to get week 10, you're going to get Case Keenum to give you 380 yards and 4 touchdown passes, but he'll throw 2 interceptions, you would take that in a minute. He's playing good football. I'm with you, Tony. He should be the quarterback. They play the Rams this week, by the way.
That'd be a good football
Minnesota.
Game.
Yeah, in Minnesota.
Cowboys without Zeke and a tackle. Claiborne had 6 sacks for the Falcons and a big win over the Cowboys.
That's bad blocking.
6.
Yeah, that's not Zeke. They didn't lose that game because Zeke wasn't there. They lost that game because Tyron Smith wasn't there, okay? Sean Lee didn't play.
Pete, whose record did Claiborne beat?
In terms of he beat Chuck Smith
for the Falcons,
Chuck Smith got 5 of them against Willie Roaf.
Willie Roaf, Hall of Fame tackle. Chuck Smith, he got 5 against him,
but he didn't get the 7 that Derek Thomas got against Seattle.
And who did Andy? Derek Thomas beat at Seattle for those
Andy
7
Heck, right?
Andy Heck.
And by the way, and who did he play the next week?
No, you're thinking. No, he had 6. You're thinking when he had 6 against the Raiders and he beat Lincoln Kennedy for 6.
Lincoln Kennedy. Then he played you.
I played him the next week and he didn't have a tackle.
Nothing.
That's the story that Phil Sims tells all the
Please,
time about
JP. Come on.
Sims standing up in the
tell that story. That's funny. Tell that story, Pete.
Yeah, Sims was doing the game And he asked Tom, he goes, Tom, how the hell are you going to block Derek Thomas? And Tom said, my guy. That's how.
Awesome.
And he talked about Tony. And he stoned him.
Monday Night Football. Jay Cutler and the Miami Dolphins look to avoid a third consecutive loss. They're at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte tonight to face Cam Newton and the surging 6-3 Carolina Panthers. Who you got tonight in Charlotte?
I love it.
There's the voice.
That was outstanding, JP. One of the best I've ever heard you
Appreciate
do.
Appreciate that. That's real nice.
But I forgot who's playing because I was focusing on your voice.
Miami and Carolina tonight.
Miami's terrible. Carolina will win that game.
I think it'll be closer than you think, though. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think Miami will show up and keep it close. Carolina's not great either, Tony. Their defense is very good. Their offense
is Kuechly back?
Yes. I think he's back tonight. Yeah, he's back tonight.
Well, who knows how long,
That
though,
guy's
right?
had more dang concussions yeah. than anyone I know.
I think he's back tonight. I got to check and make
sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. I have no idea. I think the Panthers win, JP.
I do too, but it'll be close.
And it's only close because, I mean, Miami's playing better defense. I give Adam Gase a lot
of credit. Cutler played good last week.
I give Adam Gase a lot of credit. I think he's one of the better young coaches in this league.
All right, Pete. I agree. We got to roll. Have a good one.
All right, guys. Take care.
Pete Prisco down in South Florida. Tony Buscelli, Max Hockman, Dave DeCandis, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.